we've got here is two parts machine learning, one part chip design, and three parts fabulousness. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, hosted, and produced by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, we are tackling the big wide world of chip design today with a little help from some serious optimization and a whole lot of machine learning. My guest joining me a little later on is Rod Metcalf from Cadence Design Systems. And we're talking about the future of chip design, why implementation teams are having a hard time keeping up with today's advanced node designs, and how the advancements in computer science is bringing in a new age of intelligent chip design. But before we bring in Rod, let's do a little news you may have missed. Machine learning for atoms. What if machine learning could help us better understand how materials behave at the atomic scale? Well, it can. So, a team of researchers at Northwestern University are doing just this. They have developed a new framework utilizing machine learning that could help us more accurately predict how new materials deform, fail, and even transfer heat at the atomic scale. So we've talked about nanomaterials a lot here on Fish Fry over the years, and how they are going to revolutionize modern medicine, electronic design, sensors, and a whole lot more. But in order to design them, well, that can be quite tricky. An important component of the creation of nanomaterials is what is called parameterization, which is the determination of atomic potentials through atomic modeling. Basically, how the material is going to behave based on its atomic properties at that very smallest of levels. But until now, this depended a lot on chemical and physical intuition, which is not exactly the most accurate way to design a new material. But this new platform, developed at Northwestern University, is looking to reduce that intuition with a little help from machine learning. Horacio Espinoza, one of the leaders of this study, explains it like this. He says, "The computational algorithms we developed provide analysts with a methodology to assess and avoid traditional shortcomings. They also provide the means to tailor the parameterization to applications of interest." So, how exactly did they come up with these algorithms? Well, the framework developed by this team of researchers uses screening and training data sets, which were gathered by density functional theory simulation results. They next used an evaluation step that included correlation analysis and principal component analysis. What this team found through its iterative learning approach was really interesting. They found a positive correlation between the accuracy of inner atomic potential and the complexity and number of stated parameters, which is a phenomenon believed to be true in the field, but until now hadn't been proven using quantitative methods. This team also contends that their new approach will also help remove the barrier of user experience to enter this field of research. Zhu Shang, one of the team members working on the project, explains this element of their research like this. "Through this work, we hope to make a step forward by making the simulation techniques more accurately reflect the property of materials. That knowledge can be expanded upon and eventually impact the design of devices and technology we all use." This team of researchers from Northwestern University isn't stopping here. Next, they are looking to expand their models to include deformation and fracture in 2D materials. And they are also looking to develop experiments that will reveal atomistic failure modes as well. So if you want even more information about this machine learning meets the atomic scale research, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Rod Metcalf from Cadence Design Systems and talk about machine learning for chip design and Cadence's Cerebus Intelligent Chip Explorer. Hi, Rod. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia.
Okay, so we're starting today off with a rather big question, but Rod, from your point of view, what is making chip design today so complicated?
Good question. I think there are, a few different factors at play here. I think the first one is, you know, the semiconductor industry is experiencing great growth at the moment. Technologies like 5G, autonomous driving, all the hyperscale compute stuff that's going on, all the IoT edge devices, they're all driving more and more demand for silicon devices, which is great. I mean, that's a nice problem to have. And we also want more powerful devices. We want things that have a higher performance, our phones respond better, have better graphics displays, have longer battery life. We kind of want everything. And that's triggering a lot of extra complexity in the system. So if you take a look at a GPU design, for example, a few years ago, a resolution of 1080p was considered a very high resolution for a mobile device. Nowadays, 4K displays are standard, and some of the higher end mobile devices support 8K. So that's an example of a GPU design has got significantly larger and more complex today than maybe it was even a few years ago. And that is really making the whole process more complicated. Now, on top of that, chip designers are moving to new process nodes all the time. And that means the standard cell libraries get bigger. There are many more PVT corners to consider during implementation and sign-off. So that also is driving complexity and making the whole chip design process much more complicated. And it's really difficult for the implementation teams at the moment. They can't keep up with this growing size, growing complexity. More designs need to be done with the same number of people. And it's very tough at the moment with the chip design teams.
Okay, so Rod, how can machine learning in particular help chip designers, do you think?
Okay, so the only way engineering teams can keep up with all these new design pressures is to add automation to the flow. Now, if you add automation, that in turn will help productivity. And I think that is really where the benefit of machine learning will come in. So if we look at today's chip design flow, it's a very manual iterative process. People start a new design, they have some new RTL, they start running the flow based on their previous project. They start looking at the data that comes out of the chip design flow. And then they decide kind of, well, what should we change to improve our results? Do I want to improve power or performance or area? And they'll change something and then start running the flow again. And that will generate a bunch more data and they'll look at that and they'll decide what to change next. So it's a very iterative system and it takes a lot of runtime. It takes a lot of effort from the engineers to continually tune these flows to get to the best PPA they want. And you know what it's like when you get to iteration number 10, you've kind of completely forgotten about what you did in iteration number one. So most of that knowledge is lost and it's very easy manually to miss something in the design flow optimization. So the manual iterative approach is having more and more issues and it's really limiting the ability for the chip design teams to get through all these new designs that they're being asked to do. So I think really machine learning can have some benefit in the automation of this flow optimization. And that can allow design teams to get to better PPA more quickly. So what we observed is with the manual approach, you generate data, you look at the data and you decide what to do next. And that is very applicable to reinforcement machine learning technology. And there's been a few things in the industry that have changed over the past few years that have really enabled this technology to become a reality now. First of all, engineering teams have access to vast amounts of compute power, huge machine data centers full of computers. They can either be on-premises or nowadays they can be in the cloud also. So the amount of compute power that can be applied to the chip design process is significantly more than it was, you know, even a decade ago. So access to compute power is one part of the puzzle. The other part clearly is computer science. the machine learning computer science has come on over the past few years in leaps and bounds, and it really is now available for general use and very applicable to EDA type tasks. So I think the combination of machine learning being available, large amounts of compute being available, those two things coming together make machine learning flow optimization, which is going to help automation, much, much more practical nowadays. And that really is going to help designers get their job done.
That makes sense. Now, Rod, I've been hearing a lot about the Cerebus Intelligent Chip Explorer. So tell me more about this, and how is this making the chip design process more intelligent?
Right, yes. So Cerebrus, yeah, the future of intelligent chip design. So this is a Cadence product that really makes use of the technology that's become available over the past couple of years. So first of all, it's based on a reinforcement machine learning engine. This is a very sophisticated engine. It's been developed at Cadence for many years, and it's really the core of the Cerebrus technology. So we use reinforcement machine learning to do automatic full flow optimization. And that is basically going to allow the chip design teams to get to better power performance area results much more quickly. So it's going to allow them to scale more efficiently, to take on more designs. So the reinforcement machine learning engine that's within Cerebrus is very key to this and something we've been developing for a while. Now, the other important thing is we need to do full flow optimization because we want to consider the RTL to GDS flow. You don't really want to just optimize one part of the flow. That's very inefficient. So the beauty of Cerebrus is it really looks at the whole flow, and it's going to get you to these PPA goals more quickly. And the other very important part is it's based on distributed computing, and this makes best use of the computing power that engineering teams have access to today. So by using a distributed network of computers, Cerebrus can start learning how to optimize the design and the flow, and therefore generate a more efficient flow for the designers to use. And this compute power can either be on-premises, customers can use their own computers, or it's completely cloud-enabled. So you can easily go to a cloud provider, and you can use Cerebrus natively on the cloud and not have to have any additional compute resources yourselves. So what we expect Cerebrus to do is really to make the whole chip design process more efficient, but more importantly, scalable. So as design complexity grows, then Cerebrus can be used to make sure that the design implementation teams can keep up with all the demands that they face. So Cerebrus is a very key new technology for Cadence.
So Rod, besides the benefits that you just mentioned, is there anything else that this solution brings to the table?
Yeah, I think there's a few things to highlight. I mean, clearly the main benefit is delivering better power performance and area more quickly. I mean, that is absolutely crucial. And if you compare it to the manual iterative flow, Cerebrus is going to get you to better results more quickly. But there's a few other things I think that is going to help the chip designers get their job done. So first of all, we really focus on the complete RTL to GDS flow. Now, that's important because ultimately, what happens, for example, during RTL synthesis is going to impact what happens later in implementation. So if you're going to get the best PPA, you really must optimize the whole flow. And that's generally what a chip designer will do anyway. So we very much want to complement what chip designers do today. And that's why this full flow optimization is important to us and something that we've been working very hard on Cerebrus to make sure it does that. But there are other things over and above the flow optimization itself that are important and I think will really help chip designers. And one of the other things is much higher level optimizations. So, for example, Cerebrus can help automate tasks like floor plan creation and power and ground mesh sizing. Now, this all helps the designers complete the designs more quickly. So it's not just flow optimization they need. It's also assistance with higher level tasks. And Cerebrus is very much aimed in that area also. So our feeling really is by adding automation to the chip design flow in its entirety, each designer can do more, bigger, more complex blocks. And that's going to improve the productivity of the whole engineering team. And then they can start taking on more designs. I mean, I really think Cerebras will allow engineering teams to keep up with the ever-increasing number of system-on-chip products that drive the technology we all take for granted nowadays.
Excellent. All right, Rod, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since we have... Now, since you haven't been on my show for a while, here it is. So we've been in lockdown, which seems like forever, and a lot of us can't have our favorite foods for one reason or another. So, Rod, if you could have one meal or one food right now, it doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the world, you need a passport to get there or the restaurant is closed, what would you have, Rod?
Oh, yeah, okay, that sets the memory going. Okay, so that's an easy one for me. So I live in England, and even in the best of times, sushi is difficult to find in England. And very fortunately, I have a sushi restaurant that's not too far away, but they've been closed during the COVID lockdowns. So I am in desperate need of a sushi meal, and I have no way of getting one. So, and I have really missed sushi. It's something that I am pining for when all the restaurants start reopening.
I love that answer. And you know, that's actually been a common answer here on Fish Fry. Maybe one out of 10 speakers choose sushi. Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Rod.
Thank you for the invitation. It's been great.
And before we go, don't forget to check out my brand new maker-themed monthly Fish Fry podcast series called Makers Today. In the second episode of this new series, I chat with Lorraine Underwood about the hashtag Badass Women Makers and Engineers project at Element 14, the cool projects she has created, and why she wrote the book Save the World with Code. And you can check out this episode by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, or by heading on over to the Fish Fry section of EE Journal. You can't miss it. It's right across the top. And hey, if you're a maker and you'd like to be featured on this series, please let me know. You can send me an email at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com. Send me a message on LinkedIn or carrier pigeon, you know, whatever works for you. And stay tuned for a brand new episode of this series coming next month. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, oh yeah, me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. And 5 stars, please. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 30th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.